Okay, now we should be good to go. And when I say good to go, I mean get it. You got to get it like you got it.
Get it. That's how you got to do it if you want to get it.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
Oh, and I'm Mark Whitman. And as I just said to you, that's how you got to do it if you want to get it.
Listen, if the only good thing that comes out of these episodes is we get a pop from Boomer Payne, that's all I care about.
Oh, yeah, that's cool with me, man.
So Double Dropkick Show, the wrestling podcast, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And this is episode 199.
Right.
And I want to say this. I don't know that there's another mom and pop wrestling podcast at 199 episodes.
I don't know.
All the rest have the corporate machine behind them, yeah. But not us.
Or some money mark that's paid somebody to be his friend.
Right. And I want it for the record, I have never paid somebody to be my friend in the 21st century. I just want that to be known. So what we're going to be talking about today is something that actually happened a couple of weeks ago down in Mexico City. Then we want to tie it into something that happened this week on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And that this wasn't on our original plan to record.
There's one other thing I wanted to talk about that I didn't tell you about.
Okay.
Since we're talking about current stuff.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it, though.
So we want to talk about the big brouhaha. Uh-huh. About Sexy Star and Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Let me set the stage for you. It's a AAA event, Mexico City, Mexico. Their big event, Triple Mania. If you go on YouTube, you can see this whole card. It's like 7 hours.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. And I think the match that we're going to talk about, it's a four-way match for the Queen of Queens title, Sexy Star, Rosemary, Lady Shani and Hamada. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard Mark lay out what's been going on and
Like in the finish, Sexy Star gets Rosemary in this arm bar and then she taps out. And then Sexy Star, I guess, cinches up on it and allegedly dislocates her elbow.
Right.
Something like that. I didn't see where that happened, but.
Right.
Obviously it doesn't make you tough.
Right.
Like, if I said to Brock Lesnar,
yeah.
let me show you this chokehold I've been working on.
Right.
Brock Lesnar allows me to put him in this chokehold.
Yeah.
I can't then brag about the fact that I choked Brock Lesnar out.
Right.
Because he allowed me to put him in this hold.
That's correct.
So it doesn't make you tough to take advantage of somebody who's giving you their body.
Right.
And anybody who's ever done it, there's that understanding that I'm giving you the opportunity to hurt me if you see fit.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
And you should never abuse that. However.
Thank you. Thank you for getting to here.
However. I did more than watch a GIF.
Yes.
I did more than read a headline.
Yes.
I watched the match.
Yeah.
And they were working stiff with Sexy Star right from there. And I also listened to some people who understand the wrestling culture in Mexico, like Conan. I listened to what Conan said about the situation.
Right.
And he said, whatever drama exists in North American locker rooms between the female wrestlers in Mexico, it's 1,000 times worse. They don't like each other. There's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of backstabbing and backbiting that goes on between them.
Yeah.
And apparently, well, not apparently, because I watched it. They were working. There was a couple of times where one of them was holding her and the other one was just drilling her in the head.
Yeah. So can I just say, watching this match, and I hope you're proud. I mean, I did what you're supposed to do. Unlike 90% of the articles that I read about this match and about the situation, I watched the entire match, okay?
So I texted you last night, right?
Right.
And said, hey. Watch the whole match.
Yes, yeah. And it's only like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, it's not very long.
It's not Omega Okada. But no. The thing is, that was one of the most uncomfortable wrestling matches I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was a really bad match.
It was terrible.
There's this one part where this trash can lid gets introduced.
Yeah.
And they slapped Sexy Star. One of those girls slapped her.
Hamada.
Slapped her upside the head, and it wasn't a working shot.
No.
She drilled her upside the head, and then when Sexy Star picks it up and tries to hit her back, remember, she put her hands up and swatted it away so she couldn't even.
Right.
The problem is, all right, if they had done that to me the entire match, I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah.
And I'd have probably hurt somebody as well.
Yeah.
The problem is she hurt the wrong person.
Right.
Rosemary hadn't done anything to her. She just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I'm going to tell you, man, if somebody was shooting on me like that the whole match and then they wind up hurt, that's on them.
But, okay, let me ask you this, because this is where I'm coming from. First report is, well, she's got a dislocated elbow. Second report, she's got a broken arm. Third report, oh, goodness, they're going to have to amputate it. Finally, it turns out, oh, I got a strained bicep.
It wasn't no big deal.
And she missed like a week of wrestling.
Right.
And she may have not missed any bookings.
Okay, and not only, let's say she missed a week of wrestling, the best thing that happened could have happened for her career.
Yeah.
Is that now she's getting bookings off because people know who she is.
So, What I'm trying to say is, if this is just me, if you're really trying to hurt somebody, you're going to hurt them, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, have you ever been in an arm bar? I've been in one of those arm bars as a shoot one time.
Okay.
And it does hurt.
No, right. Yes.
Incredibly painful.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't like...
Even a worked arm bar like that.
No, it was not worked when it was done to me.
But what I'm saying is, even if it's worked, it puts torque on your arm.
Yes.
The thing for me is everybody reacted to how Sexy Star reacted after she tapped out. And I just thought, okay, in the UFC, when you're trying to put somebody out, they're not over-exaggerating and slapping.
I still am not convinced that it wasn't a big work.
Me neither. And the reaction of people.
The reaction of people that have never been in. I get if you've in the business.
Right.
To have that reaction to it. But if what are you upset about? It's like the same thing with this. Oh, they're going to have to work on Christmas now.
Right.
You know
right.
Who else works on Christmas? My father. Every year when I was growing up, my father worked on Christmas. Yeah. He was a police officer.
Right.
And nobody gave a damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I got nurse friends that'll work Thanksgiving at one of the two Christmas days, New Year's Eve. They'll work July 4th. They work every holiday.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. I got one of my best friends is a paramedic. He'll work holidays. Nobody cares.
Right.
Why am I supposed to care that some millionaires and some hundred-thousandaires have to work? I don't care.
Right.
Why can't muster up outrage?
Yeah,
because guys I don't know are getting paid a lot of money to toss a ball around and get in a fake fight.
But people are not mad about all the professional athletes.
That's what I'm saying.
Most of the main games are on.
Yeah, you don't care when the NFL plays.
Yeah, like you for real, people are going to yell about the Hardys. Because Rebby Hardy, and of course I don't have a problem.
Of course she spouted off the mouth.
Right.
That's what she does.
Right. But like, people are going to be like, feel sorry for wrestlers that have to work Christmas, but you're not going to feel sorry for, you're going to boycott WWE because they're working Christmas, but you're not going to do anything for the police officer.
I remember being a kid and we would be having Christmas at my grandparents' house, and my father would show up in his uniform. And he would eat, and hopefully there wouldn't be a call come in.
Yeah.
And he could stay for a minute or two. And he would come in, he would eat, and he would leave.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he couldn't come in and eat at all.
Right.
Because there was something going on. And that happened my whole life. And nobody cared.
Yeah. Would you say...
we're supposed to care about these wrestlers that have to wrestle on Christmas. I don't care. care. You can mark it down. You can tweet them. You can tell them all. Mark said he don't care that you have to work holidays. You know, I worked Christmas when I worked in the hospital.
Yeah.
Nobody, there wasn't nobody going on Twitter expressing their outrage that I was having. And why do you care? Why do you, what do
right.
you,
how does it affect
this,
your life?
We live in this society of people who are just outraged about everything.
So here's the thing. If you are outraged that they got to work Christmas, then you're not, you don't watch Raw.
Don't watch it.
Don't do all that and then watch Raw. If you're really mad, don't watch Raw.
Yeah, just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. Don't go to the hospital. Don't call the police.
Right.
Don't count on the military to be there to protect you. Don't do any of that stuff.
It's like,
man, because don't watch football.
It's like the Christians that go out to eat on Sunday and say, I ain't going to tip you because I don't believe in working on Sunday.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So
that's,
can we go?
We won't even get into all that, the hypocrisy.
But I'm speaking of outrage, like, so that leads me to this, and I want to get into the headbutt, the Kevin Owens headbutt of Vince
right.
McMahon. There's been all sorts of story, like, we know too much now and uh-huh. about everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, the Justice League movie comes out in about 2 months. I should be really excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been so much negative press about it and switching directors and this and that. And they got to do reshoots. Stuff that 20 years ago, we didn't even know what a reshoot was.
Right.
You just went to the movie. But now we have access to all this information. And so my view of this movie is tainted.
Right.
Because of what's being reported, half of which may not be true. That's the thing with this sexy star thing. Half the stuff that's been reported are people that didn't watch the match, weren't there.
They watched a GIF. They read a headline, and they listened to what Chris Jericho said, and they said, well, I guess I'm supposed to feel that way because I like Chris Jericho, and that's how he feels. There's no critical thinking anymore.
Right.
There's no critical thinking in the world. It's not just in wrestling.
Yes.
It's politics. It's everything
everywhere.
That goes
yeah.
on today. People
yeah.
read a headline. They don't look at the whole story.
People like
and they make a judgment based on what somebody else told them they're supposed to think. Nobody
yeah.
thinks. We got this. Somebody said, I wish I could remember the quote, but it was, we have so much knowledge but no wisdom anymore.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's all, everybody knows everything.
Right.
But nobody does any critical thinking about it. They just, nobody knew what that DACA thing was till a week ago. Nobody
yeah.
knew what that was.
Yeah.
You're outraged about something and you didn't know what it was. I didn't know what, I'd never
now,
heard of that
now,
till a week or two ago.
Now, to be fair, I have a friend, a kid that was in my youth group that is affected by that.
Right.
And so there are a lot of people.
I'm not defending. I'm
no,
not
no,
taking
no.
a position.
No, no, no.
I'm
yeah.
just talking about that's
You're
this
right.
thing that's in
yeah.
the news right now.
Right, yeah.
That every, and nobody really knew what it was.
Right. A lot, yeah, a lot. I do think that the people that did know what it was, they've been talking about it for a long time and even saying, you know, that what President Obama did wasn't good enough. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
But yeah, you're totally.
And if he, and I don't know.
Right.
I'm not a political guy. And I'm certainly not trying to get political about the thing. And I don't like Donald Trump.
No, right.
So please don't misunderstand me for
he did not get
him.
Our votes.
He didn't get my vote. And I don't. But he is the president.
Yes.
I'm not one of these. He ain't my president. No, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He's in the office. Like,
yeah.
Whether you like it or not, he is. And you got to deal with it. You got to live with it. But. Like, they've pretty much reached an agreement now.
Right.
About this thing.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted them to do.
Yeah.
This wasn't about,
right.
whatever the narrative that they want you to believe,
yeah.
it wasn't about, let's do this and send these 690,000 people. It's not.
Right.
What it was about.
Yeah.
It was about, let's get something in place that's on paper, that's legitimate, that's
right.
real. And they have reached that agreement as of this morning, correct?
I don't know. I that would be.
I'm fairly. There again, I just did what I told. I read a little article about it.
Yeah.
That said he kind of had some meetings with some people last night, and they're trying to hammer out a deal that will allow all these people to stay, but they just wanted there to be a real law on the books.
Right.
That wasn't just a decree.
Right.
that we're going to do it this way. It'll actually be a law on the book to protect them.
No, right.
Give them a legal way to go about. And that's what it's all about. Like, yeah. Let's legally make it so that you can stay. But the narrative was he wants to send all these people home, and listen, that's not what happened.
Listen, let's just be honest. You have to, even if he did want to send all those people home, do people understand the logistics of having to do all that? Like, there are so many things we expect of our government that are just realistic impossibilities.
Right.
They are just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people think, well, if we build a wall, man, we're going to stop all illegal immigration. Well, are you going to build a wall with Canada?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Talking about the only wall I remember being built was the Berlin Wall, and that didn't go too good, and they wind up tearing it down.
There you go.
And the same walls that keep people out keep you in.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's why I have an issue with that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody told me, well, I don't want to go to Mexico. That's not the point.
Right.
The point, man. The point is the wall keeps me in is what.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
That's why I don't want to get too political or go down that. But I just wish people critically think about things and actually read and do their research before they just get on Twitter and spout off, or Facebook and spout off about all this stuff, man.
But I do think in this culture, because of social media, we have given everybody an added avenue to be an expert on everything.
Oh, no doubt. And it gives people this thing, like, they say things that anonymously, even though it's got their name out beside it, to people they don't know and they'll never have to see.
Yeah.
And that's so easy. And that doesn't make you better than anybody or smarter than anybody or tougher than anybody that you spout off at the mouth to somebody that's up, 500 miles away.
Right.
And you don't have to deal with the consequences of the things that you said.
The, to me, perfect case of this is, there's a everybody is entitled to an opinion. Like, the question that is most talked about in our wrestling group is who should have been world champion.
Oh God!
So there's a post now, and it's the same names. It's the same five or six names all the times, and it's okay to have your opinion of, I think this guy should have been a world champion. Right. It's another thing to understand the wrestling business, the times. And people want it both ways. They're like, man, guys should have long title reigns, but these 10 guys should have been champion in 1988 and had 2-week title reigns.
Right. It's almost like, I saw the other day, not just the other day, you see it all the time. Why are they giving away John Cena versus Braun Strowman?
Yeah.
On Raw. Why are they giving that match away?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they save that till WrestleMania? Like, when we were kids, the complaint was, God, I wish I could watch Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair on TV one time. I would love to just see that. Why can't they wrestle on TV more? Why can't I see them wrestle? And now there's this, you get all these matches, and everybody's like, I wish they wouldn't give me all these matches. So tired of them giving me these high-quality main events every week. I'm sick of seeing this. I don't disagree. I get the philosophy behind it, that you kind of are burning through a lot of matches you just have to understand that is a different company now. That company is not driven by the pay-per-view marketing.
No.
It's driven by TV ratings because TV ratings lead people to purchase the network. So they have to give good quality matches on TV so that people will buy the network.
And TV ratings, the TV contracts is where
they make more money off TV than they do off of that network. Maybe I'm wrong, but they have to. You know what I mean?
Well, they're making 10. You might be right. You might be right. I can do the numbers.
Or let's say between the TV ratings and actually getting people to the arenas to watch the show.
Which they're not doing a very good job
evidently
of.
Evidently not.
They're still drawing more in one night than all of the promotions in South Carolina draw in a night.
So they probably draw more in a night than almost all the other promotions in the country.
Yeah, you
would draw on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Draw that on Monday night. They'll make more money Monday night than everybody else combined Saturday.
No, that's
one guy on their roster. And I'm not even talking about Cena and Reigns and Lesnar and Strowman. I'm getting down into the Nevilles here. The Nevilles and they'll make more money Monday night than all the other indie wrestlers in the country. Goodbye.
Yeah. So, speaking of current wrestling, this week on SmackDown, I didn't watch it live. I got a text. I got a text about 10 o'clock, 10:15, and it just said, man, did Owens really headbutt him? And I didn't even know what he was talking about. So I, as usual, Facebook gave it to me just that segment. So I watched that segment. We'd love your thoughts on the Kevin Owens headbutt.
As you know, I did cancel the network and I don't watch Raw, I still watch wrestling on YouTube. So I get a lot of recommended videos. So most of the time, the major stuff, I do watch it. It's not like I never watch anything.
Yeah.
It's just I don't spend but like 20 minutes a week watching.
Yeah, that's right. You watch the highlights
of it. Yeah, so... So I saw Kevin Owens and Vince McMahon. Well, Vince McMahon's back on TV. I'll watch that. It's 5 minutes long. Let me see what Vince said. So, man, I watched this thing. And then I see this headbutt. And I'm guessing you saw it.
Yes.
And then they've cut to the clip of McMahon laying on the mat. And you can tell where the skin, he hasn't quite started bleeding yet. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
And you could just tell that it had torn the skin. Because he's got that thin old man skin now. It's going to tear a little easier.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if he knew that there was going to be blood from that. I'm pretty sure he told him to give him the headbutt. Because there's really no way to fake a headbutt.
No.
And it looked real. There's no way to do that. Even though everybody knows if you're really going to headbutt somebody in a fight, you don't headbutt forehead to forehead.
No.
You go forehead to nose. And you smash their nose.
Right.
So it's ridiculous. If you've ever actually been in a fight, to headbutt somebody in the forehead is ridiculous because it hurts you too. A couple of thoughts I had on it were, number one, like, Vince McMahon is way too old to be doing stuff like that. Even at that, what's his name? Was it Shibata?
Yeah, Shibata.
He got
the same blood, too. He had the same trickle
exact
of blood.
Same thing, and his career's over now, right? Or is he coming back?
He came back and just said, I'm not dead yet.
Right. Everybody's stealing Richard Pryor's line.
That's right.
I noticed that. Ric Flair, too, stole Richard Pryor's line, put it on a T-shirt. I'm sure he's going to compensate Richard Pryor's
for
stealing his line. But anyway... Like, when I hear that happens to Shibata, and then I hear, like, a 72-year-old man does the same thing, that's just, to me, that's not smart.
Right.
It's just not smart to do that.
Right.
But I get it, why he did it.
Then he took a beating and took the frog splash.
I think he wants to send that message that I might be 72 years old, but I'm still this and that. I get that. He's an alpha male.
At the very core of Vince, from the beginning, he always wanted to be one of the boys.
Right.
And he really started wrestling late in life. And Shane's got that same deal. Like, Shane can't escape it. It's like, it's in his blood. Not just to do the backstage stuff.
Right.
He wants to be a performer.
Right.
He wants to be out there. And I agree with you. Like, here's the thing about wrestling. Again, it goes back into what we're talking about. Nobody can say, oh, man, what an amazing segment. Everybody's like, man, was that real? It's like...
I know. Nobody can enjoy...
Just enjoy it.
I had no intention of talking about this, but that incredible John Cena-Roman Reigns promo from a few years ago...
A few weeks ago,
I'm sorry. It was so good. It was such a good promo, and everybody was... Like, I watched these guys who... portray themselves, and they put themselves out there as so-called insiders. We're gonna give you the inside scoop, and they say that was a shoot promo from John Cena. No, it wasn't.
Right.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
That is not a shoot.
Yeah.
A shoot is if I say, Heath, I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna talk about our match this weekend, and I'm gonna say this, and then you say that, and you say this, and then I'll say that in return.
Yeah.
All right. And then you go out, and I said, "Hey, Heath, Why don't you tell everybody about the time you cheated on your wife out in such and such? That's a shoot.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. What Scott Steiner did on Nitro that time when he went out and was started, he was supposed to talk about one thing, and he talked about Ric Flair and why everybody was turning the channel to watch Stone Cold Steve Austin now because of all this stuff. That's a shoot promo.
Yes. Yes.
A shoot promo is not two guys who have agreed to go out there and discuss these issues and then going out there and discussing those issues. That. Write this down. For all of you smart folks out there, that is not a shoot promo.
Right. Okay. Right.
That is, I'll say it again, not a shoot. If you go out there and do what you've been instructed to do, that is not a shoot.
But people think today that if you say something that's true,
that you're shooting.
That you shoot. Like if you go out there and it's like, boy, this arena is half full tonight. You know, that's just, you just say something true. Or, boy, the sky's blue, Mark. I'm going to tell you what.
Tell
ain't
you
nothing
what,
you can do about it.
I'm going to tell you what, boy, here in a little bit, we're going to go lose our dignity at some buffet here. here in the great state of South Carolina. We're going to go give a little dignity up at a buffet somewhere. That's shoot.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Listen, there have been people who quit listening to the show because they thought you were shooting.
Yeah.
There are people who've sent us messages saying, I can't believe y'all said that. Mark's gone too far. I'm done. I'm not listening anymore.
I know. It's the funniest thing. Like, I think it's great because I like the heat. And a lot of people say they're heels and think they're heels. I really am. I do not care. I love the heat.
It takes me 3 seconds to block somebody.
Yeah. I don't care, man. If you don't want to listen, don't listen. I don't care. Yeah. But I hope everybody listens. I hope they enjoy it. But if they don't, all right. One more thing I want to talk about. These last couple of incredible Braun Strowman weeks.
Okay. I haven't watched.
Oh, man. Did you not see his match?
No.
Get on YouTube and watch the match with Big Show in the cage.
Okay.
It was phenomenal.
Okay.
It was phenomenal. He beat the slop out of Big Show.
Yeah.
You haven't seen him throw Big Show through the cage?
I saw that gif, but
that was so good, man.
Yeah.
So good. It was such a good match. People were chanting, this is awesome for a Big Show match.
Yeah.
And it, like, Braun Strowman elevated the Big Show and made the Big Show a baby face.
Right.
People were applauding Big Show when that match was over, man. And he was standing there, and they were applauding for him because for the performance that he just put on, because Braun Strowman is such a good heel that he made Big Show a baby face for a real baby face, where people were sympathetic to a guy who's 7 foot tall and 450 pounds, and they were sympathetic to the Big Show because Braun Strowman is such a badass. And you didn't see Monday night?
No.
Oh, dude, it was so good. It was so good. I love Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I love Braun Strowman.
Maybe the guy that gets me back on WWE Network.
Sounds like
I'm going to be honest with you. He may be the guy, and I have a theory, if you'll just allow me a few minutes here to speak.
No, I love it, man.
I have a theory.
I love it.
First of all, Paul Heyman goes out with Brock Lesnar in the ring.
Yeah.
He cuts this promo. If they were in the UFC, that they would say, fighter, are you ready? And he said, Brock Lesnar, I'm asking you, are you ready? He's like, yeah, I'm ready. He goes, well, then Braun Strowman, the only question is, are you ready? Because if you're ready, come on out here and y'all can fight. He comes out. They start brawling. Of course, you know what happens. And what's always happens when once Brock gets a hold of you, he snaps it. He puts that, puts that German suplex.
Yeah.
Takes you to Suplex City. So bam, bam, bam. They do the thing. He finally gets the lock, and you could just feel the crowd deflate. Oh, here we go. He picks Braun up. Big German suplex, and Braun hits the mat and rolls over and stands right back up. And Lesnar is looking the other way like, yeah, what's he going to do? And he turns around, and Lesnar drops back for the first time. Like, oh, my God. what is – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman is standing at the ringside – with that look, his eyes are as big around his saucers, and his jaw, as Kerry Trainum used to say, my jaw hit the floor. I don't mind. I always remember Kerry saying that one time.
Yeah.
His jaw is dragging the floor, and Braun's just looking at him, and he snatches Lesnar up for that big body slam. Boom, picks him up again. Boom, for that big body slam, just picks the title up, holds it in the air, walks off.
Dude.
And he left Brock Lesnar laying.
Yeah.
And who else has done that?
No, no.
Who else has not sold that? He no-sold that German suplex, man, and Brock made it. Because if Brock had just looked at him like no big deal, it doesn't matter. But when Brock Lesnar looked at him with fear in his eyes,
yeah,
it made him.
All of you people who criticize Brock Lesnar, I'm just to tell you, underrated. Mm. Underrated.
Dude, you have to go watch that segment. We're going to watch it here in a minute. It is incredible. It was one of the best Raw segments I've seen in a long time. Just because
I love it, man.
Because he no-sold the Germans. He no-sold the move that has that for 2 years they made it.
Yeah. Once he starts that, it's over.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That is wrestling, man.
Yeah.
That is, so you cannot sell. You can go do this indie crap, and you cannot sell all these moves, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because that's what everybody does. But because everybody sold that move for 2 years, up to and including The Undertaker and John Cena.
And Roman Reigns,
the biggest names in that company, sold that German suplex. Goldberg sold that German suplex. The one time that one guy didn't sell one German suplex, the crowd started.
Is one of the problems, though, in wrestling? So with WWE, they're making episodic television. So everything is connected. And I love it when they do things like that and kind of like, it's like the little ribbon on the package. But with all these indie shows, nothing's connected. And so there's no, like what you're saying, no other company other than New Japan and Ring of Honor, no other company could even do something like that because
it's just... Force. Or if they're even here.
I was trying not to mention them.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean...
Global Force could do something like that. But what I'm saying is everything else is just a spot show.
Yeah.
There's no...
Oh, I agree.
...connectivity. And when some, upstart promotions really come up with a great long-term idea, you know, somebody's always going to kind of shoot it down. But it's
short-sightedness.
It's exciting for me to hear. Like, I haven't heard you talk about wrestling like you just did.
Oh, the excitement
and the passion. But it took somebody who's as big as a tank.
Right. So here's my theory. I don't think Roman Reigns was ever the guy. I think they wanted you to believe Roman Reigns was the guy so that they could build the real guy and people not crap on it.
Uh-huh.
And I think Braun Strowman is the guy.
But,
Duke, if they had Braun Strowman in 89, oh, man, you wouldn't have had an Ultimate Warrior.
All right.
He is what Vince McMahon wants, man.
Braun Strowman is the prototype.
Oh, God. And he's so athletic. And he's he's so big. Like Vader would say, look at me. I'm so big. I'm so big. Now, I'm sure Roman was the guy, but I think that they're realizing that Strowman is something special, man. And he, Strowman could be the next special attraction.
Maybe
more than that. Because you got to have that as well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Roman's the John Cena, but Braun Strowman may be the Undertaker.
Right.
Going for, you know what I mean? Because you got to have both of those. You had Hogan, but you also had Andre, who was that special attraction. And I think right now Brock Lesnar is that special attraction. You got the top guys, but you also have Lesnar, who's that special attraction.
So, How do you book No Mercy? Strowman going over? I've heard Lesnar's taking some time off until Mania season.
I don't know. I really don't, man. It's such a... Because I haven't been following it real close. I've just watched it for 2 weeks. I'm always a fan of... If you're going to beat him and you want it to mean something, then I think after everything you've built up...
Right.
I think you do a non-finish, almost, instead of instead of either one of them going over,
yeah,
if, you know, somebody, they brawl somewhere,
yeah,
and get counted out. And I know that that's not what people want. They want that definitive winner. But if he's the guy that you want to go with at WrestleMania, then I think you put him winning that title and taking it off Brock. I think Brock almost has to cheat to win.
Yeah.
If he does beat him, it's a tainted victory. It's not a clean F5.
Yeah.
Kind of victory. It is very much either he, and I don't know what you do, but he cheats somehow, or it's a non-finish, and that gets you to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then you have him, Paul Heyman, avoiding. Hell no, we got a match against James Ellsworth at Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
almost do something like that to make everybody real mad at Brock.
Yeah.
Because right now, Brock Lesnar is the babyface in this situation. Strowman's such a good heel that Lesnar comes across like the babyface.
So, like, to me, if Lesnar cheats to win at No Mercy, and then he's off TV, and you just can build that animosity towards him.
And yeah, you build that anticipation. He's doing everything he can to avoid having to come back and
face
having to face Strowman. Maybe even then you have Strowman win the Royal Rumble, so he doesn't have a choice. You know, maybe that's what you do. You have Lesnar cheat, and then I'm not.
You got your shot, yeah.
Yeah, you got your shot. I'm not coming back. And then you have Strowman win the Royal Rumble. And now Lesnar doesn't have a choice. And even Strowman says, look, you know, last time you, which they use that no DQ thing when it suits them anyway.
Right.
They won't even be a no DQ match, and they'll still wrestle outside the ring for 45 minutes. But, which I don't like.
Yeah.
I say I don't like that. I think that if you're out of the ring for 10 seconds, it should be a disqualification so that when it is a no DQ, it matters. And then, you know, maybe Strowman says, look, I want you, and I want you where you can't run from me, and I want you at a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania or something like that.
Right.
You know?
So would you book Strowman? Last year, when you booked Lesnar at WrestleMania, you had him entering number one at the Royal Rumble and eliminating everybody. Would you do that with Strowman?
I would. I just want to see that.
I do, too.
I want to see that happen. It's never happened. I want somebody to do that. I want somebody to eliminate 29 people.
So I'm looking at my papers here. So what we're looking at, because we're getting ready in about 2 months to start recording this year's fantasy tournament.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to have a guy who wasn't even in this tournament last year. And he's going to be a heavy
favorite to win this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Strowman is – I'll tune in to watch Strowman. Love his promos. I believe his promos. His athleticism is off the charts for a man himself. Like, when the question comes, who's the best big man, he's got to be in that conversation. What man his size can do what he does?
Yeah, at this stage in wrestling, yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
And he's not only is he a giant anyway, he's a giant in an era when there are not many giants.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's not like there's him and The Undertaker and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and Dan Spivey and Sid Vicious.
And the Road Warrior.
And the Road Warrior. Right. And there's all these guys who are, you know, 6'7" to 7 foot tall. And he's not in that era. He's in an era. Look, who else in that company is 6'9"? Or 6'10", however tall he is. Who else besides Big Show is that tall?
Right. Nobody.
I'm sure if I think long enough, there's somebody that'll come to mind.
I mean, Ginger's pretty tall.
Ginger's tall, but he's not that tall.
No. I mean, when Strowman gets in there and he dwarfs Lesnar like he does.
Yeah.
That's because Lesnar size-wise used to be the measuring stick.
Oh, yeah, man.
So that's cool, man. I'm glad to see you. So you're going to be on vacation for No Mercy, so that's not going to be on your radar. You'll watch the highlights of it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll find it online somewhere and check it out.
Yeah.
Especially if Lesnar, if Strowman wins.
So to sum it all up, don't take advantage of people in the ring.
Unless they got it coming. Because right. that isn't it. I mean, I listen.
No, that's true.
That's the thing. You can't shoot on somebody for 10 minutes and then get mad at them when they fight back.
Right.
And tell
right.
them they don't belong in the business.
I guess what I'm saying, and I'm not defending what Sexy Star did. I'm saying.
Did you hear her baby? Well, I know you didn't hear it, but because I didn't hear it. I just heard Conan translate it for me.
Uh-huh.
They have a program like Dancing with the Stars down there.
Right.
And she's on it.
Yeah.
And she cut like a babyface promo about the situation. She babyfaced herself and was like, I'm standing up for battered and abused women everywhere. You're not going to take advantage of me.
Oh, wow.
That was her take on it. Nobody's going to take advantage of me.
Oh, wow. Well, she put out a tweet or something. It was basically like, I tried to talk to her before the match, and everything seemed good, and then we get out there. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if she wanted to break her arm, she could have broke her arm.
Yeah, she could have broke it.
I mean, she could have hurt her really, really seriously, but it's just interesting.
If somebody had slapped me in the head like that with a trash can lid and they'd have got a broke arm out of it, I wouldn't have felt a bit bad. The problem is Rosemary ain't the one that hit her with the trash can.
Right. But like when I was.
But I could see getting wound up.
But people.
Getting mad.
People.
I could see that.
People were talking about. That just was an awful match.
Yes.
It was one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, it wasn't good. They were not. That's because they weren't cooperating.
They weren't cooperating, and the first time Rosemary gets slung into the ropes, you realize this ring's about 10 times bigger than what she's used to in Global Force.
Yeah.
And it's just like her steps was all. Yeah, cadence. There you go. And it was just. But there. How many times did they sling somebody in ropes? Maybe twice?
Right.
Like, it wasn't a wrestling. It was basically, and even the announcer's like, why are they bringing in all these foreign objects? Did they, did you see when they hit Sexy Star with that chair? They basically broke the chair on her back.
Yeah.
And she went out and just sold it. And I don't blame her for getting out of the ring and being like, what's wrong with you people?
What is going on here? Yeah. I get it. And I could, you could almost see if somebody's doing that to you.
Yeah.
And there's three of them.
Right.
How do I know that all three of them ain't in cahoots together to do this to me? And, hey, if somebody gets hurt, they get hurt.
Well,
I don't care. And if people don't like me saying it, that's just the way it is.
And the other lady with the white, Lady Shawnee, she was busted open.
Yeah.
And that looked great, bleeding on the white mask. Yeah. I'm not. It looked great. I liked it. So, hey, you know what I like? I like talking to you on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
You know what else I like? I like our patrons. Patreon.com/DoubleDropKick for $1 a month. We'll add you to our patrons-only group, which we're going to be recording a patrons-only episode. We do at least one a month. If you know, there's different levels, and it's just a way to support the show, help offset some of our costs. We're trying to move out of the basement because every time we come in here, there's a different background, and I don't know. My nieces have been in here painting and all this stuff, and you know, there's toxic mold and everything. So that's a work.
No, that's a shoot. That's a shoot. The toxic.
DoubleDropKick.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Hey, speaking of iTunes, we don't push this enough. Leave us a rating and review. Only 5 stars. They won't let you do 6, but 5-star rating and leave us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. It helps our ratings. It helps our algorithm. Listen, okay, there are other podcasters out there who lose sleep over their algorithm. Let me just say this. Our algorithm's just fine.
Is it?
It is.
I don't even know what that is. I know what an algorithm
is. Well, I'll tell you a little bit later, Mark, what that is. But you just need to know ours is healthy and great, and we don't know anything about it. But
yeah, I couldn't tell you, man.
So stay tuned, because the next one is the big one. It's episode 200, where Mark and I book our wrestling careers. I think you're going to be interested to hear it, because I don't think it's going to be what you expect. But, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.